Well, I am so excited. We're going to bow our heads here in a second. I am so excited, like I said earlier, for church. So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we could sing songs about you, and we can sing praises to your name. We can sing songs that we know are true about you and your goodness. So Father, as we celebrated already with our voices and song, I pray that today our hearts would be accepting of your word. Father, I pray that we would have our perspectives changed. Father, that we would shed that mindset of poverty, and we would have a mindset of abundance and blessing. God, I pray that this morning we would be encouraged and blessed. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. And I pray that we would just have a great morning together in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So we are in our series, The Ultimate Warrior. Changing the perspective is what this week's message is about. And this series, The Ultimate Warrior, it's really one that has just stirred my heart the past little while, and something I hope that stirs you. I want to stir each and every one of you to just have this mindset of being the ultimate warrior. Another way of calling would be the way of the warrior. And last week we talked about being warriors for the kingdom. And we talked about how the world is searching for heroes. And we talked about how when we got saved we became believers, we joined the army of Jesus. But we're called for so much more, aren't we? We are called to counter evil in our situations, in our households, with our friend groups, in this community, and whichever community you might be a part of. We are called to counter evil. We are called to be warriors. We are called to special forces. We have a mission, we have a vision, we have a direction, and we have orders. And we're called to be those warriors for the kingdom of God, and sharing the gospel, and sharing his love, and sharing his passion. Amen? So today we're going to talk about changing the perspective, because I think perspective is something that a lot of us need a lot of time. So what do I mean by that, by changing the perspective? It means we need to stop looking at things as man would see them in the natural realm, and we need to start seeing things beyond the natural. So that's kind of a weird thing to say. Maybe it sounds Christianese, but not really. We need to be looking beyond what we see. We need to see the world through Jesus' eyes, through the eyes that he has given us. See, Elisha, maybe you've heard about him. We're going to talk about him a little bit today again. We have some scripture to read about him, history lesson about him. But Elisha was a spiritual warrior, and he was leading the charge against the enemies of God. And in fact, in 2 Kings, we read about how he acted beyond our natural eyes and his natural eyes, and was a huge part in stopping the king of Syria from defeating Israel. You see, Elisha knew all of the Syrians' plans, even the ones from the secret meetings in his bedroom. Now that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Like, what a strange place to hear all the secrets. Yet Elisha knew them. And that's part of having those supernatural eyes, the right perspective for the job. So let's read 2 Kings 6, 8 to 12. And it says, "Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, 'At such and such a place shall be my camp.' But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel," that's Elisha, "and he said, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there.' And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice." This means it wasn't the exception that Elisha had gotten this intel, this special information. It had happened before and multiple times. So let's keep reading. And it says, "And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" See, Elisha's close relationship with God made him provide to the plans of the enemy. It gave him the insight, gave him some intelligence of what the enemy's plans were. Even in the secret place of the king's bedroom, he knew the plans. He had some intel that I would want if that was my army. I'm sure that's the intel you would want in your army too. So the king of Syria was just incensed. He was livid. He was ticked off. He was so mad that he tried to attack Elisha. And here's what the Bible tells us in history. It tells us this from 2 Kings 6, 13 to 20. You got it? And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant went and said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And that was good old Gehazi. And he was all scared, and he went to Elisha and was like, 'Elisha, what are we going to do?' And Elisha said, 'Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" That's some heavenly eyes right there. That's some spiritual sight. Because Gehazi only saw what man saw. He saw the enemy around him. Then Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please open up his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, Gehazi, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's heavenly eyes. That's heavenly sight. That's different perspective, isn't it? Amen? Let's keep reading. "And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please strike this people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness according to the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.'" So, I don't know, maybe you're like me, maybe you're not as much of a Star Wars dork as I can be sometimes, but I really like when George Lucas stole some stuff here from the Bible when he wrote Star Wars. And maybe you remember this scene, but do you remember the scene where the stormtroopers came up and the droids were with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Obi-Wan Kenobi says to them, "These aren't the droids you're looking for." And the stormtroopers are like, "These aren't the droids we're looking for." And he did some Jedi mind trick. And this is Jedi mind trick times 1,000 here. The Bible originated and made it even better than what George Lucas could have done or did it. So let's keep reading. And it says, "And he led them to Samaria. And as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, 'Oh Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria." They were in the enemy's camp. Elisha got these guys, they were blinded, and they just strolled right on in to the enemy's town. And they were surrounded by the army. This is possibly one of my favorite history lessons from the Bible. Could you imagine trying to fight against a guy like Elisha? They couldn't kill him. They couldn't capture him. He was a thorn in evil's sides, just like spiritual warriors are intended to be. We're meant to be that way. You see, just like Elisha, that's our call. We're supposed to see beyond the natural and into a realm of the supernatural, into the spirit where God lives. Like we read, Elisha saw horses and chariots of fire all around the enemy. And the cool thing is if we actually saw spiritually what was going on around us, wouldn't you feel a lot better if you had some situation creep up in your life to know the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, the angels of the Lord, they're warring for you, doing battle for you? Boy, you would feel like, yep, victory's mine. But far too often we don't. We just look with our little eyes, our natural eyes, because we don't know how to use that spiritual sense, those spiritual eyes. He had a level of perception that was greater than natural thinking or logic. And that's the level of intel, that's the level of wisdom we need to get to. We have access to this intel that surpasses the natural. Each and every believer has access to it, but we need to engage it. We need to start living life from heaven's perspective. And when you live life from heaven's perspective, it opens you up to all the claims and desires of heaven in the circumstances of life. Amen? See, in the end, it's all about perception. It's all about perception. And perception is powerful. It's powerful. Perception can relieve oppression. Perception releases provisions. The prophetic arises out of perception. Promises are realized by those whose awareness of God is greater than their natural vision. Warriors stand out in times of need and crisis because they have insight into God's nature. They have insight into who God is, his characteristics, and that's where we need to tap into. And why do they have this insight? Because they know him. Because they know him. They have a knowledge of Jesus, and they actually know his characteristics. And this gives them a deeper level of love and of trust. So do you and do I fully trust God? Do we? Or do we say we do? Or do we even not even, maybe we don't even say we do. Maybe we just say, that's a cool story. That'd be cool someday to have that, or I wonder how that happened. But when we know him and we experience that, man, that's cool, I think. So when we have that insight into who God is and we can trust him, it increases our discernment or our ability to understand what God wants us to know. And that's where we want to go. And I want to tell you about another history lesson, I guess, a historical topic from the Bible. And it's about this guy named David. Maybe you've heard of him. David. Not this David, but King David. And it's said that David was a man after God's own heart, right? He wanted to know God in a real way, and because David wanted to know God in a real way and a tangible way, he only knew one voice. One voice. And that was God's. He didn't listen to his voice very often, did he? He listened for God's. There was this other guy in this story. You might have heard of him too. Goliath. Have you heard of Goliath? This giant of a man? See, the king of the time, King Saul and all his soldiers, where they were shaking in their boots and they didn't want to take on Goliath. And Goliath mocked them and he called them out. You're kind of like that bully on the playground. Well, if you're not tough enough to fight me, send me one of your guys here that is. And all of them were like, oh, none of us are tough enough. Oh. And that's kind of how it was. But the only person who was not scared was David. David, the guy who only knew God's voice and had knowledge of God. Sorry. He had knowledge of God. So let's read 1 Samuel 17. Let's see what it says here. 17, 42 to 49. It says, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. That does sound like me, I know. We know this is King David, though. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. Man, I love David's boldness. How often do we come into a situation when things might be looking a little grim to earthly eyes and we're like, man, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's how we need to be coming to these situations. I'm coming to you. We don't back down, do we? We don't quit. We come. We bring it. I keep reading. It says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle. He ran towards the battle line to meet with the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank deep into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. I love David's confidence. He brought some confidence to the fight. Why? Because he had some intel. He had some insight from God. David knew the heart of God. David didn't go into this thing saying, "Well, God, if it's your will, let me win this fight. God, if it's your will, let me not get killed. Let him not feed me to the birds." No, he didn't, because he had insight. He had intel. He knew that the battle was the Lord's and he would have victory. It's a lot easier going into battle when you know you have the victory, isn't it? Amen? See, that's how we can live our life every single day. When we go into battles, when we go into situations, we know that we have the victory. David knew the heart of God. And I love it. David knew the will of God because he knew the heart of God. And he knew that the fight was his. And he knew that he would defeat this giant. You can defeat your giant. You can defeat your obstacle. See, David's identity as a warrior was rooted in his knowledge and his understanding and his connection with the Father that we all have or can have, should have. Amen? That's the connection we need. Something that David was really, really, really good at was singing praises to God, wasn't he? He loved to sing praises. And I believe that praise is not an option. Just like failure is not an option, praise is not an option. We must bring praise into all situations. When we're praying, we're thanking God already for the victory that we have, don't we? When we're singing his praise and song, or when we're going into situations and we sing praise, when we're praying and we're giving praise already that we have the victory. Praise is not an option. Your revelation of God must result in a praise proclamation against the enemy. In worship, we declare God, don't we? And in warfare, we proclaim to the enemy. So in worship, we declare to God. In warfare, we proclaim to the enemy. In worship, we declare to God. In warfare, we proclaim to the enemy. If we have no internal declaration of who God is to us in our lives, then we have no external proclamation to fight behind. That's who David was. He had knowledge of God. He declared God. He declared to God. And he proclaimed to the enemy, "I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to kill you and cut off your head." This is who David was. See, we're called to be warriors for the kingdom. And this isn't a matter of a physical battle. This is a matter of spiritual battle. We need to see with eyes beyond the natural. I pray that you all want to be special forces for God. I pray that you all want to be a warrior for God. If you want to live that life that Christ has called you, we need to have the right perspective, don't we? Amen? We need to get our minds right. We need to get our perspective right. We need to be like these guys we just read about in history, the Elishas and the Davids. We need to spend time with the Father to get to know him so that we can have that right perspective. We can be coming out because we know where our victory lies and we know where our victory comes from, don't we? We need to live from the inside out rather than letting the world around us dictate how we're going to live. We need to live from the inside out rather than letting the world tell us why we should be scared and why we should be fearful and why we should know defeat. We should be living with the inside out in victory, in joy, in love, in peace. I pray you're living from the inside out. Are you with me, folks? I pray you are. I pray you are. We're going to pray in a moment, and I want to give each and every person an opportunity to join God's army. And then after we do that, we're going to take a moment and we're going to invite you. If you want to become a warrior, I want you guys to take a stand with me. If you're ready to change your perspective and have the right perspective, have the right stuff, as the army would say, we need to have the right stuff. We need to have the right perspective. We need to know God. And we're going to pray and we're going to take a stand together. So if you're ready to cross that line with me today and become a believer in Jesus for the first time, or maybe you knew Jesus as a child, or even last year, or even a month ago, and you're like, oh, I'm really messed up and kind of gone on the wayside, but I'm ready. I'm ready now. I need to join this army with Jesus. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're ready to do that, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And if you're at home and maybe you've already done this prayer, just bow your heads and pray with me. Repeat after me. Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sin. Thank you for dying in my place, Jesus. Thank you for coming into my life, Jesus. And Jesus, I pray that you would begin to direct my life. Bring me closer to you. Jesus, connect me with other believers in you so that I can know you more through their life as they lead me and guide me to you. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and for welcoming me into your army. Thank you for the eternal life and newfound joy that you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, contact me at the church, 306-882-2453. You can call me right now. We'll get it. We'll get you. Or you can email me at lead@rosetownchurch.ca. If you're watching maybe on Facebook, send me a message on Facebook. Or if you're super excited and say, I joined the army, Pastor Dave, I joined the army, throw it in on the comment line. I'd love to hear from you. I'll connect with you through that. Maybe you want to shoot me a message on YouTube and say, I'm in the army now, Pastor Dave. I'm enlisted. Let me know. I want to celebrate with you. I want to celebrate with you. I'm excited. I would love to connect with you and give you a Bible. And if you're not from town, I'd love to talk with you more and connect you with a good Bible-based church wherever you may live. So I want to connect with you, so please, I ask, reach out to me, let me know. I'd love to talk to you and work with you. Now to the second part of our prayer, though. We want to pray for a new perspective. We want to start becoming some spiritual warriors. So I'm gonna ask, if this is you today and you're ready, you're like, I need to change my perspective, Pastor Dave. Enough's enough. I've lived with this fool-hearted perspective. I don't know if that's the right word. I've lived with this crazy perspective, and I need to live with a godly perspective. I need to understand and achieve and experience all the gifts and all the things of heaven that's promised in Scripture. Pastor Dave, I'm ready. I'm ready to join the special forces like the Navy SEALs. I'm ready. I'm ready to do what it takes. The special training is nothing more than spending time with the Father and getting to know Him. So if you're with me, if you want to do that, let's pray. Pray with me. Actually, repeat after me even. Dear Jesus, I'm ready to be all in, to join your special forces that are 100 times better than the Navy SEALs. I'm ready to go in strategically for you, to change my perspective and put on the right perspective. I'm ready to be a kingdom warrior who doesn't have limits for you, doesn't have doubts, and is ready to go into battle. Jesus, thank you for calling me, for enlisting me into your special forces. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So guys, if you prayed that prayer, throw something on the message. Let me know. Last week we talked about you dreaming. I want you to dream, and I want you guys to really to come alive and be part of the kingdom, to become an ultimate warrior. Let's pray and get you on your way. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that is listening to this message today and watching this message. Father, I pray that each person that is under the sound of my voice, that hears my voice right now, will be excited for you and be making steps right now to either enlist in your army or join the special forces. God, I pray that they would be excited and passionate. And I pray that I wouldn't scare them off with this excitement, but they would get it would rub off on me and just explode in joy in their lives. So, Father, we thank you for them. We pray that you would go with them, lead them, and give them this joy and passion, Father, and let them rub it off on somebody else and help spread this joy and peace and patience and love. I pray that they would walk around with heavenly perspective and not natural perspective. We love them all. I love them all. And I pray that you would just let them know they are loved and special. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day, guys. God bless, and I'll see you next week.